It's election season. You might have gotten your absentee ballot over the weekend. You might be planning to go to your precinct on November 3rd, whatever the case is. It's time to make your decision. So over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking with the candidates who you'll be voting on. Andrew Beeler was the top vote getter in a very crowded field of Republicans seeking the 83rd district seat in the State House of Representatives August primary. And he joins us right now. Andrew, good morning.
Morning, Paul. It's always great to be on the show. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you joining us. Just kind of remind everybody who you are, what led you to run for this seat in the first place.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a lifelong Port Huron resident, born and raised in the area. I joined the Navy when I was 17, graduated from the Naval Academy in 2014, just completed 5 years of active duty as a surface warfare officer in the Navy. I moved home last summer and had not planned to jump into politics, but of course when our current state rep, Shane Hernandez, announced that he wasn't going to run for re-election, saw an opportunity to jump in. So after a lot of prayer and talking with my family, we made the decision to jump in, and we formally started campaigning at the beginning of this calendar year, and as they say, the rest is history.
What priorities would you be taking to Lansing with you if elected?
Absolutely. The number one priority for me is the economy. That's been a top priority for me since day one of the campaign, and it's even more important now following the COVID-related shutdowns. I think that we've got to get the economy open to the maximum extent possible. Small business owners are ready to do so safely and to do so in a way that's not going to endanger their employees or their customers. They've been ready to do that for a while, Paul, and I think it's time to let them do that and let small business owners make their own decisions and let them get back to business.
I want to ask you about Unlock Michigan, the group that wants to limit the governor's emergency powers during the COVID-19 pandemic. They say they've collected enough petition signatures to get their proposal before the legislature or before voters, whichever is necessary. What do you think of their petition drive and their mission?
Well, I completely support their mission, and I think it's something that's important to highlight here. This is a bipartisan effort because Unlock Michigan's goal is to repeal the 1945 law that the governor's currently acting under that provides broad authority that's not time limited to the governor. And this is something we can all get behind. Nobody in Michigan believes that the governor, regardless of which party they belong to, ought to be able to govern without the consent of the legislature for an indefinite period of time. And this movement would repeal that law. All we are asking for is a little transparency. We want the legislature to be involved. The legislature is the body that represents the people. And right now they've been completely cut out of the process by the governor's interpretation of this law. So the Unlock Michigan movement is something that that I support 100%. I've signed the petitions. I've passed out the petitions. And again, it's important to remember, this is not a partisan effort. This is a bipartisan effort to bring the checks and balances that our system of government is built upon back to the state of Michigan.
COVID-19 is going to be with us for a while, maybe a long while. How do we need to proceed with dealing with this virus here in Michigan in the months and even years for moving forward?
Yeah, well, that's a great point, and it's important to remember that viruses don't just go away. This isn't something that's going to come and then pass. It's going to be here, and it's our job to adapt to it, and that's fortunately what Americans are great at. So first, we've got to leverage the private sector to work on vaccines. Obviously, that's been an effort that's been in full swing for several months now, and it looks like some promising steps are being made. Getting a vaccine is the best way to fully reopen and get back to what we used to know as normal. But I also just think following the same rules that we've been taught since we were little kids, right? Washing our hands, not touching our faces, things like that, they've just become more important. From a legislative perspective, I think one of the biggest things we can do is support small businesses through liability protection. As these folks bring their employees back, it's important to protect them from unnecessary liability that would be caused by bringing folks back into the workplace, bringing employers and customers back into their stores. So that's from a legislative perspective, I think the biggest thing we can do. But again, none of that can happen with the American or the Michigan economy grinded to a halt. We've got to open it to the maximum extent possible. And as I mentioned before, these small business owners, I talked to them, they're ready to go. They're ready to open safely, and we've got to let them do it.
Talking with Andrew Beeler, he's running for State Representative 83rd District from Port Huron. Andrew, next year's budget process could be a very challenging one due to the effects of COVID-19. What do you anticipate in a budget for the next fiscal year?
Yeah, and I think that, again, another very good question, because this year the budget looked a little bit better than we thought it was going to, but largely that was due to the federal stimulus that we received, as well as the tax withholdings that were provided to the state based on unemployment. So it's kind of an inflated budget that we were looking at this year. So it's important to remember as voters and as informed voters that next year, the budget process is really going to get tough, because that's when all of the additional revenue that the state was getting through, as I mentioned, the unemployment withholdings, those are going to go away, and the federal dollars are going to stop coming in. And so that's when we're really going to have to take a hard look at administrative costs. Where can we cut back? And just like families do, when you have a tough year, you don't simply spend as you would hoping that you get some more help down the line. No, you take steps to roll back your budget and cut where you can. And I think we as a state are going to have to make some very tough decisions. As a future state representative, I'm hopeful that that I'll have the chance to communicate with voters how those tough choices are made. Michiganders are smart. They know that when you go through a tough year, you're going to have to cut things back. And it's so important that all elected officials at every level communicate with the voters about where those cuts are going to come from. Nobody wants the carpet pulled out from under them, but we're in a situation where the state budget will be facing a deficit, no doubt about it. And so it's about making those decisions in an effective way, in a smart way, and then communicating those to the voters.
Ordinarily, a candidate for state rep would be going to parades and festivals and fairs and Rotary luncheons and all those kind of things that we haven't had this year. What kind of challenges have you had campaigning?
It's been a big process of adapting to going to events that we could. A lot of virtual events. So we, throughout our campaign, got very familiar with going to Zoom events and being asked to speak at Zoom events. Some events have been opened up. We actually did one parade up in San Juan County. It was a really nice event, perfectly safe. Everybody was spaced out, and so we did have one opportunity to get out there. But really throughout the campaign, both before the primary and now, it's just been about meeting the voters where they are. If people are comfortable having their door knocked by somebody from my team or myself, you know, we go knock their door. We take a step back. We make sure that we're taking the necessary precautions. People aren't, then, you know, we're going to send them something in the mail. We're going to give them a phone call, a personal phone call. So throughout this whole process, it's just been about meeting people wherever they are, whether that's through the mail, through the phone, through social media, or in person, which is our preferred method. But it's just been about adapting, and I'm really proud of the way my team has done that, both in the primary and now in the general election.
Finally, Andrew, those absentee ballots I mentioned are already in the mail, already arriving in people's homes. Do you have any concern over absentee voting, mail-in voting here in Michigan?
You know, there's always concern when you talk about votes being mailed in. I was somebody who had to vote absentee since I turned 18 as a member of the military, and there was always a little uncertainty whether my vote was being counted. Just with the uncertainty of the mail. We've seen some examples of that throughout the country. I hope that our state government is taking the necessary precautions to make sure that every legitimate vote is counted. But there's always that chance, and that's why I'm encouraging people, if they're comfortable, if you're not someone who's immunocompromised, if you're not someone who's exhibiting symptoms, if you've tested negative, I'm encouraging people to go vote in person. I think it's safe. I voted in person in the primary, and I don't think there was another voter in there at the time that I was in there. So these precautions are being taken. We can take some common sense steps to vote in person. If you're somebody who has to vote by mail, do so early. Make sure your vote gets counted. We want every legitimate vote in Michigan to count.
Andrew, great talking to you. Appreciate your time this morning. Thanks so much, and good luck.
Thanks, Paul.
Take care. Bye-bye.